He's late.
Thank the Lord, Lee.
All right.
Wow.
Good singing, too.
Technically, you can split.
Right.
Two different things.
All right. See if I win. I am. Help. If you have a Bible, you want to take it anywhere, it's all good. I don't know, I might need a, somebody to check the ball.
You're on.
You're on.
You're on.
Okay. All right.
No, you cannot.
Praise the Lord. Wow. It was probably 6 months ago, and my pastor commissioned me to come up with a seminar, King James Seminar, and, oh, it's an awesome task. I think the best thing I did was, one of the best things I did was, I got help. I got help. Mike, thank you, Mike.
Amen. Good job.
Yes.
I've got this segment, and then tomorrow, we have Pastor Jose Rodriguez.
Amen.
He's been at it for a while. I'm not saying he did, but even if he started with nothing, just by time and years of experience, you learn it. You get it. I'm not a... Am I a no? All right.
Him and now.
So, tomorrow, same time, 6:45, you hear some wisdom from a local pastor, and he's got it. And following, you know what, we're going to do... Are we in a hurry? You guys, it's okay. I'm going to go around and ask you, the pastors, missionaries, and any dignitaries, anybody wants to, stand up and introduce yourself. But before we get there, tomorrow night, I had in mind for the closer of this conference, a friend of mine and one of the people that he's just a good all-around guy. He's got a lot of wisdom. He knows the Bible so well. You'll get a blessing from Pastor John Asquith.
Amen.
So, with that, you know, we'll just take a deep breath. And then we'll go around. I know sometimes pastors love that and they hate that, but let's go around. We'll start clockwise. We'll start here and go back. Then we'll go over here and we come back. If you're a pastor or missionary, you want to introduce yourself, please stand. Pastor Cassiola.
Pastor Dan Cassiola, Anchor Baptist Church, Wellsville, New York. This is my wife, Nancy.
Praise the Lord.
And this is my son, Greg. And he can introduce himself.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Greg.
Welcome, glad to have you.
Dale Morey, Liberty Behind Bars Ministry, sent out of Black Creek Baptist Church.
Amen. Glad you're here.
Welcome. I just meet my wife. John Asquith, pastor of the Black Creek Baptist Church. On the table back there, Paul Scott's, I've horned in on his table, there's a book there called Who Moved the Goalposts. If you're a pastor or missionary, please feel free to take a copy of that. Anybody else, give Dale Morey $10 so he can buy Bibles.
Pastor Gary Sauer with MPC Action RIT and Rockford.
Amen.
Amen. Glad you're here.
Any more on this side? Anyone else? All right. Come to the back. Pastor Jose, I think it's you.
Yeah. Pastor Jose Rodriguez, pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in the city of Rochester.
Amen. Glad you're here.
Pastor Joe Pertcombe of Trinity Baptist Church in the city of Rochester.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Mike Watson, we've met.
Pastor Watson, you were recently ordained, though. Am I correct?
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah, slow animal, you know. Yeah. The horse didn't make it that day, you know.
I'm Gabriel Gonzalez. I'm sent out of Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church as a church planter in Irondequoit, New York, New Testament Baptist Church.
Amen. 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 Glory to God.
My segment tonight is people ask this good question. I'm not demeaning you them at all, but it's our nature that we want to do easy. We're like water. We want to take the down path and take the easy way.
And they look at the King James Version, and they look at the other versions, and they say, the other versions look easier to read. The King James, and it's true in a sense. We don't speak this type of, you know, in the street, we don't, how art thou, O brother, you know, and what aileth thee, and things like that. We don't talk like, some people want to pray like that, I don't know what. Anyway. That's a fair question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And I want to help you answer that. The King James has a special language. It's not Old English. It's not even Middle English.
Right. It's modern.
It's modern English. It's early modern English. And if you can just maybe tune in, we had a good session, the first session, but just tune in. I'm going to answer that question. If I answer that question, I'll feel very, I'll move it so you can see the screen better. I'll feel really good about that, so, about what I'm trying to do here. We're talking about critical communication. The most important thing I need to know is, I need to know who is God. What is my relationship to God? I want information about God. God reveals himself to his creatures.
Amen.
I want it. I need that. I'm lost without it. God revealed. We can look at an oak tree. We can look at flowers and, you know, look at the cycles of earth. And we can say, oh, surely, unless you're a trained atheist, surely there's a designer of this. You can see the ordination of the stars, the order going through, and you go, wow, there is a God. In most people of the world, very few are actually atheists. They have they recognize that a deity is behind it. It's, we call it general revelation, design and systems. It's obvious. The heavens, the psalm says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth, the firmament showeth his handiwork, the fingers, the work of thy fingers, the stars which thou hast ordained. Yeah, that's a good start. Amen?
Amen.
That's a good start. So, when you're out there, your members of church are out there golfing Sunday morning when they should be in church. Oh, I'm taking in revelation. Well, you're taking in general revelation. See, there's a little problem. Any animal can take that in, but you're special. Special revelation is conveyed by language. All right? Now I'm going to give you a little pop quiz or just ask you to take a survey. Right, it's Thursday night, Thursday morning, this morning, when you got up out of bed, did you say, oh, it's Thursday morning, I want to study English grammar? Yeah! I put away all the things that, you know, all those things that, I'm not going to eat breakfast, I'm going to study, you know, vowels and consonants and, you know, verbs and, oh, look at that, oh, goody! Well, chances are you probably did, unless you're really, actually I did, I tell you, I got this. Anyway, you know, God's been so good. We're gonna get into a subject that we don't like. We're gonna try to make it interesting for you. Because in giving you the tools to use, you can understand the pictures that God is trying to communicate to your heart and to your brain. We communicate. I do some contract work. I make things, like I make this pulpit, for example. I make this and I make that. Usually somebody wants something. Right now I'm dealing with people that want a mantle in their fireplace. But yeah, I can build that. What do you want? Well, I want a mantle. Well, what does your mantle look like when it's finished? I don't know. They're not sure, really. It's hard to get Can you give me some dimensions? Can you get the, I have a general idea what a mantle looks like, but what does it look like in your mind? You know, it'll take communication by language to get the picture they have in their mind into my mind, and then we can make it. God wants to reveal himself to you, each one of you. God wants to reveal himself specifically, and he does it by language. And although it may not be our favorite subject, we'll try to make it fun, and we'll try to make it interesting so that you'll have a thirst to learn more. And the more you learn, the more all that we know specifically is the words of God. And you'll want that.
Amen.
If you have a Bible, I'm going to kind of go fast here, but in the Proverbs 30, verse 4, he says, who has ascended up to heaven? Tell me by general revelation. Can you answer that? An oak tree can't tell me that. Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Not sure about that. Who hath bound the waters in a garment? I don't know. Can't tell. Who hath established the ends of the earth? These are really specific questions, and they need specific revelation to answer them. What is his name? What is his son's name? Thou canst tell. Now look in the next verse, verse 5. Every word of God is pure.
That's the answer.
Does it say he's a shield to put their trust in him, something like that? Every word of God, he answers these questions.
Yes, sir.
Where do we get specific revelation? The word of God. So we're going to have a little study in the word of God. And when you're done, when I'm done, I'm hoping you'll say, you'll agree with me that, yes, initially the early modern English of the King James Version, as it's called, it's true, it takes a little work, but it's worth it.
Amen.
Because it paints a clear picture in my mind. It reveals God very specifically. Okay, buckle in, got your grammar helmets on, and let's get to work. The answer is, again, every word of God. Let's look at the wonder of language. My dog can speak in a tongue. She barks when she's hungry and so on, but she can't read a book. She can't take language. She can't take, what is this mark? Is it the letter L or is that the number 1? Well, we begin with, when we have written, we really imagine this is a paper or a scroll or something. We take something, some stain and ink, something of contrasting color, and we make a squiggle or a squawk or a straight line. And in our minds, we're trained to say, oh, that means something. A monkey can look at that and they don't understand. They can't do that. God's, mankind is so privileged that God would communicate with words. No other thing can do that. You can train parrots to talk and so on. You'll never get them to read, right? War and peace and so on. Oh, when we add a few more letters, we get a word. Fall. I guess it was an L. And you begin to get an image in the mind. Where you've been trained, this squiggle, this squiggle, this squiggle. You put them together, put them in this order, we go, fall. Oh, I'm starting to see a picture. This is how language works. Well, maybe not exactly clear. Which one would you say? Is this one or this one? Depends on, you know, how positive or negative you are, I guess. What if we do? We take words and we put them in order, and they're called a phrase. Oh, our fall, we added an S, and then we put this word in front of it, and it says Niagara Falls. Slowly we turned. Well, just a little bit of effort.
With just a little bit of work, we've taken our squiggles and squawks and we've communicated an image to you. How cool is that? If I tried to paint Niagara Falls, it sure is easier just to write letters. Each time, I want you to understand I mean Niagara Falls. I have to paint this each time, and it's like, oh, that'll take forever. And you wouldn't even recognize my painting. Yeah. And we're gonna continue now. We're gonna get into working into grammar, really. In this sentence, it is a complete thought. I went to Niagara Falls. You'll see the point in a minute. This sentence begins with the subject. The subject initiates the verb, the action. He's responsible for the action. The action is went. Niagara Falls didn't come to me. I went. That makes me the subject. I own the verb. And the verbs are so cool. The verb is, when you look at a sentence, looking for the primary verb. I know I'm shortcutting English. If you're an English teacher, forgive me, I'm just at the level, you know. This is Hannibal level. It's just, you know, I'm just a farmer with a clean shirt, so you know. I went. That's the action. That's where the energy was spent. It's the verb. Verbs are also our timekeepers. You know, the saloon door busted open. A still, a hush fell on the barroom floor. The piano stopped, and there was nervousness. Past, present, and future came. It was tense.
Very good, brother. Very good.
These people would be here right now if it wasn't for the COVID. But I'm glad you're here anyway. The next thing is, that's Mon and Trang, by the way. But for those who have been praying, we're working on the New Life 2, Pastor Esco, you'll know. We had saved up, we're looking at the next generation of New Life 2. We had saved about $65,000. He needs $250,000. He needs about $150,000 to get started. And broke ground, he bought the land, he sold his house, moved in with the students in the dorm in New Life 1, and bought land, and was just praying and saving. And I think over 3 years we saved about $65,000. We did some praying and fasting. You can do that even with COVID. And he called me 2 days ago. They now have
$200,000.
Oh, there it is.
Praise the Lord.
Teacher, I'm due back in March for the groundbreaking ceremony.
Amen, brother.
Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Little plug there for Lionel Trang. Preposition, those little words. Imagine one of those hard Super Bowl balls or the rubber, they bounce like crazy. Just, if I took one of those and I just threw it as hard as I can, describe where it goes over, under, at, below, above, you know, bing, 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 bing. Those are your prepositions. Those little words, they take energy and they direct it. They give it direction. Where does it go? Underneath, over, under, at, to. See? Preposition. You've already learned more grammar than you did all high school, so I don't have to complain now. How important are words? Just a little word. How the words paint the picture, including these little ones. What if I change it? I went over Niagara Falls. Just a little preposition. Does that change the image in your mind?
Yeah.
You see how important it is? It's important. And finally, Niagara Falls is the object. It's the destination. It'd be like, I'll use a sports analogy, the football player. The receiver receives it. He doesn't throw the football. The quarterback initiates that action. The quarterback throws the ball to
the receiving
object. You have a preposition directing the energy, and right after it is the object. That's a giveaway. Find the preposition, and after it, you'll find the object. It's where the energy is directed to. The object, the receiver catches it. All this, we put it together and we put it in the system, we call it grammar. Now I took those same things, maybe some spelling, different arrangement. You know, that's the same phrase we were looking at. But it's not using correct grammar. And it's just not right. But grammar is just the total thing. It's like driving on the road. It's we drive on the right side, we obey the sign, we know to slow, we turn on a turn signal, we should anyway, and you know, all that stuff. And that's grammar. It's just the system that we follow and we recognize. It makes it work. The Bible, the Word of God, includes the words, the vocabulary, but also includes the grammar. You can change. Put a comma here, take one off there, and it changes everything.
Yeah.
So we look at the total system. Follow the rules of grammar, and you'll appreciate the value of the language. The painter, I think it's Leonardo, he had an image in his mind. And you think he made that painting like in an hour? No. There's a lot of brush strokes. There's a lot of detail in that. That's one of the I use that because it's famous, right? Now, that is not easy. That's difficult. But I think understanding is better than easy. Here. It's the same woman. This Mona Lisa, right? That's the same one. Wait a minute. When we go to easy, we drop the details.
That's good.
The quality of the product is diminished.
Amen.
The image that's conveyed to you is not the same one that took a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Easy isn't necessarily better. In fact, usually it isn't.
Amen.
If you go to a lawyer, you go before a judge and you're in a case, he's going to speak this lawyer ease and lawyer language and stuff. Just speak plain language. Speak like we do down at the coffee shop. You wouldn't want that. What you're dealing with is something really important. We're going to use the best language.
Amen.
We're going to use accurate language.
Hallelujah.
Deal with the physicians and the surgeons when they're in surgery. We had our skit to demonstrate that. And that was a good job, by the way. Thank you. But their point was this. When you're doing a critical operation like that, you just can't shortcut. You just can't make easy. There's somebody to get hurt. How much more will we have a contract with the living God about ourselves, about who He is? How much more should we expect a document that is perhaps not easy, but is perhaps excellent in its understanding, perhaps excellent in its communication? It's incumbent upon us to do a little work.
Here's some of the things. I can use this as an example. A few years ago, I was preaching in Vietnam at the Thai Folks Church. And you familiar with Exodus, the sacrificial lamb? It's the same process as Jesus Christ. They were to take a lamb, not a goat, not a bull. They were to take that lamb and they were to take a lamb without blemish and without spot. They were to take that lamb to themselves. They were to kill that lamb, take that lamb's blood, that innocent creature. They were to put that blood on their doorposts. That evening, death would pass over them. They would live. They applied the blood of the lamb. And we do the same. God gave us a sacrificial lamb. His name is Jesus. His blood is, we apply it to us and death passes over us. We have life. I was going to preach that.
And again, this is kind of what we had, just a lamb, and you know, an indefinite article, then the definite article, the lamb. Ooh, you know it's this one. And then finally, the possession, you make it yours, the lamb. I preached it, I thought, oh, this is great. And they all looked at me. They just sat and looked at me. These are Vietnamese. They usually are kind of poker-faced, but this was really bad. Yeah, you got it, just like that. Well, what are you doing? And they said, we don't, that's not what our Bible says. Our Bible says this, a lamb, a lamb, a lamb. God had given them a picture, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. That sacrificial lamb, and they missed the picture.
Yeah.
Because there was shortcutting. Here's another word, another famous, why do we gotta use nigh? Why don't we just use that nigh? Why don't we just use near? Newer Bibles use near. Nigh is like near, but it means nothing, you can be closer, but it means there's nothing between. That's the important part of nigh. Not only are you closer in space, but you're closer that nothing else. James 4, verse 8, I think. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
He's not saying get near, go up a cliff or up on a mountain, an airplane or something. However you think you can space, get near to God, because God is all around.
Amen.
But get nigh, that is getting near in the fact that there's nothing else between you and God.
Amen.
Deal with it, sin. Deal with it today. Deal with it and get to God. King James says made nigh. Amen. Ephesians 2, the context is the middle wall of partition between the Jews and Gentiles that had always existed. And if you go to an NIV, it just says brought near. But the context is, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's nigh.
Amen.
You'd miss that if you had it here. You'd miss that.
Yes, sir.
Closer in space only. Here's a great one. In Exodus 19, verse 22, 23, God's gonna meet a mount, and he pronounces the, gives the Ten Commandments on the mountain. And Moses can go up. Moses can go nigh. Moses, you come right on up. I'm going to give them to you. But all the people can come to the base of the mountain. It's set a bound. The minute they start coming up this mountain, they're toast. And you know I will. The priest and the people broke camp and came near the Lord. But there was a bound between them. We just read it this morning in Deuteronomy 5. It's the review of this. Only Moses could draw nigh. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. I would be very glad that could be a life or death thing. If you didn't understand what he meant by that, if you just used easy, I'd be toast. I want to go check it out. You see like a mosquito zapper, you know? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Ye must be born again. Ye is a, and we're going to get into the these and thous and ye's and stuff. Ye is a pronoun. It's plural. And that's all it is. It's just a pronoun. A pronoun represents a noun. It's easier to say ye than your name. The name of each person in the congregation. I just say ye. It's a lot easier. Ye is the subject. That is, you remember before we looked at the subject? I went to Niagara Falls. Ye means I'm responsible for the verb. When the imperative says you must be born again, that's ye. Plural. You got it. It's not like, we'll talk about that. Why don't we just use you? You is also a plural pronoun. But you indicates the object. You just receives the work. Use the football receiver. He doesn't initiate the pass. When it comes to being born again, ye are responsible. Each one of thee.
Each one.
Does that, you understand that? That two-letter word, as old John Calvin, he's not happy about that. That kind of refutes that hyper-Calvinism. Yeah, right. Hyper-Calvinism is this. Well, God's ordained who's going to get saved, so he just, you know, oh, one day, and he's, oh, I got saved, you know. God just, God chose it, so, you know, you are, you're not. He loves me, not kind of thing. Marvel not that I said unto thee. Now, this is great. Ye must be born. Thee is, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Not, marvel not that I say unto Nicodemus. He's speaking to Nicodemus. Thee. That's a one, just one man. Mm-hmm. But then he says, ye, Israel, or congregation out there, those people, must be born again. Now, it's not an object toward one man. Now it's a subject to all. Because ye is plural. Israel is responsible. See how that is? What if we did this? What if we made it easy? Right? Let's just take away those ye's and, you know, marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. You. Now, you is plural, I think. Is it Nicodemus? And who else is he talking to?
Yeah.
And then you is plural, but it's not the subject. It would be like, it's imperative that Israel, you, well, not really. It wouldn't really be imperative if it was you. It really wouldn't make any sense. The grammar makes sense. The grammar makes the doctrine. You can't violate the grammar. What I'm saying is, it takes a little work. Somebody like me can kind of get a grasp of it. Somebody like you can do it too. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I go through this quickly, but again, you is a pronoun, it's a plural pronoun, but you is an object type pronoun. There's several, more than one person receiving something. They're not responsible for the verb. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, for I have given, here's the action, here's the subject, but I have given you an example. He gave it to you, speaking more than one person. Again, Calvinism would require you, but it's ye. The Bible verses says ye. The same thing holds true for who and whom. Who is the subject? Who is a verb that initiates something, that's responsible for that verb? Whom is the receiver? Just sits there and it comes to it. You know, it's the way it is. Whosoever believeth in him. That means they're responsible in that believing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not whom, it's a whosoever. They're responsible for that. Does that make sense?
No.
We can move on. Why can't we just have a Bible that uses our everyday words? We can. There's 300 versions out there, right? Really. And some of them, they have the nerve, they call themselves Bibles. Really. I don't know how many are holy Bibles, but some call themselves Bibles. I understand that question. If you came here, you're asking that question, that's a good question. I hope I'm answering it. Oh, I'm not good at English. Who is? Is anybody good at English? This is difficult. I'm trying to teach it. Look at all these poor people, these poor Vietnamese. You ever realize how many idioms and crazy little loopholes we use and stuff? I prefer an easy one. So do I. I prefer to watch a film, you know? But God wants to communicate. He wants to reveal himself to us.
Right.
He uses words. Yeah. I don't like all the these and thous. I can get used to them, actually.
Yes.
The knock against the King James Version is actually its strength. The things that people don't like because they're not familiar and comfortable with them, they're sitting on, this is a gold mine of positive and specific revelation. It's an excellent communication instrument. We seek to understand when we read. To effectively communicate, we look for this in a sentence or any type of phrase, clause. What's the verb? What's happening? Where's the action? Who or what is the actor, the subject? Who started? Who did that? Who's behind that verb? And whom? Who'd you do it to? Who received that verb? And then when or has it or when will it happen? The verbs again, there's a tense there. First person, I, with my grammar teacher, refers to the speaker and anybody with us, you know? I am the way that this is really, Jesus is speaking, he's referring to himself. I am. The second person, this is where you find the these and thous. I'm speaking to Brother Gabe. I'm speaking only to you. I might be speaking about them, but I'm speaking to you. This is second person. He's the second person. I'm not speaking. I didn't, you, like this. Jesus is staying for Pilate. Pilate says, this, Thou sayest. Nobody else. Ye must be born again. Here's plural. Plural. Ye must be born again. See, I'm not saying they. Ye. Talking to those guys. And you'll see, really, here's a little chart that helps you. The person, the subject, and the object. I have something like this. I keep it in a cheat sheet in my King James Bible because there it is. I refer to it all the time, you know? And it helps me in my studies. But there you are. There's you. You's okay, you know? The more exact the communication, and I'm almost done, the better the understanding.
Amen.
Do you understand that? One of these is really beautiful. One of them is really easy. When you're trying to understand the images that God is putting in your mind, when you're trying to understand God, you don't want easy. You want exact. You seek to understand. Imagine the account of Acts 8, verse 30. Here's the Ethiopian coming back from Jerusalem. I think he was a little confused, but he had the scripture. He was reading Isaiah 53. And God sends this Philip, go meet him. Philip hops up in his chariot and he says, I'll give you an easy to read version. Oh, I see you've got the latest, the blue cover, right? Doctor's Dry as Dust's version of the Bible, you know, and anybody that wants to be famous and so on. Do you find this easy to read? Was that the question he asked him? He said this, understandest thou? Look at this, S at the end of the verb. You confront the verbs in early modern English. You can put them in the front so they got punch. Our new language, you have to, you got to put a helping verb. Do you understand what you read? You lose the punch. Understandest thou? That's what's important.
Amen.
Do you understand what you read? Understanding, I hope you would agree with me. Understanding is better than easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I'll take the language, including the grammar, And it, because I want to get the accurate meaning. I want an accurate picture of what's being painted for me. And I took a challenge a long time ago. My pastor told me, if you find a better communication, if you find something clearer, purer, more precise than the King James Bible, if you find something without errors, cleaner, as critically examined as that Bible has been, if you can find it, then go with it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been looking for about 40 years. I'm not really looking too hard now because I think I found it.
Amen, brother. You know? Amen. That's good.
That's it.
Praise the Lord.
Look at you. If you're like me, I'm a public school grad. You probably learned more grammar and English in the last 45 minutes than you did in 4 years. And I want you to have a thirst. We're just scratching. We're just giving you some examples. I want you to have a thirst for the Word of God. Not that you'll win Jeopardy when Alex Trebek calls you. You'll get every fact. Now, all I know, 1603 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came in. You know, like, okay, that's fine. Here's what I really want you to do. And Mike mentioned it. Low in the volume of the book it was written in me.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our God, is in this book.
Amen.
Every chapter.
Amen, brother. That'll work.
It's got Jesus Christ in it. He wants to reveal himself to you.
Yes.
Learn of me, Jesus said. How do I do that? Read and understand and enjoy not just the book, but enjoy the author.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.